Well, for those of you that don't know, I run a nonprofit called Surfers Helping Kids that is not a part of the church, but it allows me to combine my passion for surfing and my love of Jesus. And I spent all day yesterday at Sydney Fisher Park running a contest that really focused on kids. And so my voice is a little shot, and I'm a little groggy. We started setting up for that tournament. Some of our volunteers were there at 4:30 in the morning, and we stayed until dinner time. So it's great to see some of you here that were at the event last night. There's only a few. I see Scott and Sherry, and most people that were there are pretty worn out and are probably sleeping in today. And I see, is that TJ back there as well? So. TJ and Rochelle actually won the surfboard raffle and won two surfboards yesterday, so we were really happy about that. And I must confess, this is the first time ever in this church that I did not write out a full sermon manuscript. I'm going to be working off a set of notes, so we'll see how that goes. but I want to begin this morning by inviting you to think about the first car that you ever bought. Not the first car that was given to you or that your parents let you drive, but the first car that you bought with your own money. And I want to share my story this morning about not the very first car that I bought, but the very first new car that I bought, which is the black Hyundai Elantra that I now drive. And I remember when I first got this car, I thought it was the most beautiful thing in the world. And I would tell people, man, this new body model, it just looks so sporty. It's like it's one of the sharpest looking cars on the market. And on the inside, it feels like a Lexus. I mean, I love this car. And I took care of this car. Let me tell you, I didn't have food in the car for a while, and I forbid anybody else from having food. And I vacuumed it, and I washed it. And I've never really owned a nice car, and so after I'd had it for a while, a lot of love bugs got stuck to the front of the grill, and I washed it, and they wouldn't come off, and so I went inside, and I got a sponge, and I used the scouring pad to try to get the ladybugs off, not realizing, because it was dark, it was getting dark, that when the lights came on, there would be little circular scratches all over the front of my brand new car. I paid to have the scratches buffed out. And Emma followed me to the dealer to have it done and rear-ended me on the way. Don't tell her that I told you that story. She's with the kids right now. But despite that, I had the bumper popped out, and I still just treasured this car. I thought it was awesome. But you know what happens, right? Time goes by, it just becomes another car. And if you were to get in my car right now, it wouldn't look like the treasure that I first bought. The top of it has wax drippings all over the top from my surfboards. And when you open the door, sand literally pours out the side. And it smells kind of mildewy from when I get in the car with wet surf trunks and I roll up the windows and let it dry in the heat. And it's just another car. And I told Emma, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I bought a brand new truck? Because then I wouldn't have to strap surfboards to the top. I could just throw them in the back and go. And she reminds me that I've got another year of payments and that I will absolutely not do that. But it's just another car. But then occasionally things happen and I'm reminded how lucky I am to have a car. Not too long ago, it's been a couple of weeks, I was driving down the road and I saw someone walking down A1A pulling a suitcase, and it was hot that day, and I thought, man, I'm so glad that I have a car to drive, because not everybody does. And so there's a moment of awareness when I can see once again the gift that that car is to me. And, you know, there are some things that we have all of our life that we take for granted until someone reminds us that not everybody has what we have. And so recently when my friend Renato was visiting from El Salvador, we were standing in the kitchen and he asked if he could help me. And I said, sure, load the dishwasher. And he gave me this really strange look. And I opened the dishwasher and I handed him a dish, and he didn't know what to do with it. I said, "Renato, what's going on?" He said, "We don't have dishwashers in El Salvador." And it dawned on me how much of a jerk I had been by complaining for about a week straight about having to wash dishes. And by wash dishes, I mean put them in a dishwasher and hit the button. Right? So something that was just a normal part of my life, and even was a burden to me at times when I had to do dishes, all of a sudden, when I heard Renato say that, a light went on and I realized I should be grateful for this dishwasher. When we came that same evening and talked to the youth, and we asked him, what do we have here in America that a lot of kids our age in El Salvador don't have? Do you know what he said? Shoes. And then he began to say, and I've been to El Salvador, I know how hot it is, I know how hot and rocky the pavement is. And he said, can you imagine having to walk most places, because they don't have, many of them don't have cars either, having to walk most places barefoot on boiling concrete and rock. And it made me grateful for my shoes. And you know, this not only happens with things like cars and dishwashers and shoes, it also happens with people. I remember when I first met Emma. It was amazing. I thought that she was one of the prettiest women I'd ever seen in my life. And she had a great sense of humor, and she was smart. And I told my friends, I found a unicorn. You know, I had been single for 10 years, and I dated quite a few people, and there was blessing in that. But when I met Emma, I was really just overcome with gratitude that maybe God has sent me the person that I've been looking for all of my life. Think about when you met your significant other. Think about those first dates. You know, on those first dates, I took a shower and I washed my hair, and I put the product in, and I put lotion on my face. I even did a scrub one time, don't tell anybody, to kind of exfoliate, you know. And I bought new clothes, and I tried to lose weight. I went to the gym, and I started jogging, which I hate to jog. I don't like running unless I'm being chased, but I wanted to lose weight, and so I did it anyway. And I ironed my shirt, and I polished my shoes, and it was a big deal because Emma was precious to me. She was a treasure. She was special. And on those dates, I went the extra mile to plan out where we were going to go eat and what we were going to do. And I had made sure that I had money to pay for these things so that she would feel loved. And I still love Emma, but, you know, but you know how it is. You get married and you move in and you get into your routines. And sometimes, you forget how lucky you are. Sometimes I forget how lucky I am to be married to my best friend. And there are times that are unscripted and unplanned, usually in our routines, where I'll look over at her and she doesn't even know it. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude. Say, God, I don't deserve her. She is a gift that I too often take for granted. You know, you can start to see a pattern in these stories, right? We experience something new, and it's special, whether it's a new iPhone or a car or a new friendship or romantic relationship. Whether it's a new job or a new hobby, when we first experience it, it's special. It's exciting. If it's a person, we see them as a treasure. We appreciate what we have and we take care of it. We give God thanks, but as time goes on, we forget its true value and we take it for granted. But then sometimes we have these moments of awareness and we rediscover the gift that is right before our eyes. The inherent goodness or beauty of something or someone strikes us again. And my friends, it is gratitude that gives us eyes to see that gift. It's not that we see something different than everyone else. It's that we see the same thing in a different way, because gratitude helps us to see it as a gift. Indeed, unless we are intentional about cultivating gratitude, we will drift in the opposite direction. We will drift to the direction of ingratitude, negativity, entitlement, possessiveness, stinginess, and even greed. This is the Ebenezer Scrooge of A Christmas Carol, the Debbie Downer of Saturday Night Live, the negative Nancy that focuses on everything that is wrong with life and becomes blind to the good all around them. And this makes for a miserable and wasted life. And at the end, it leaves a person with a sea of regrets. Have you met these people? When they're at their best, we don't even want to be around them. Like, that's a beautiful day. Yeah, but it's going to rain tomorrow. You're so lucky to have someone to spend your life with. Yeah, but they don't pick up their socks, or she nags me all the time. And at some point, you just want to say, man, this stinks. I need to get around some positive people. And by positive, I mean grateful. The essence of beauty, did you read the sign? Is gratitude. Nothing is beautiful that you aren't grateful for. Just think about that. I know guys, you know, who are much better looking than I am, who date women who, according to the standards of the world, are beautiful inside and out, and they can't see the beauty because they lose gratitude. The essence of beauty is gratitude. And so, if we don't want to have a miserable life in which we miss the beauty and the goodness and the giftedness of life, we have to cultivate gratitude. Very intentionally cultivate gratitude. Because if we're not intentional, again, we'll drift in the opposite direction. So how do we cultivate gratitude? I just want to suggest a few things that might be helpful. First, you might remember a time when you didn't have the gift. There are times in my life that gratitude reminds me that I didn't always have Emma. There were times in my life when I was so lonely and depressed that I just wanted to stay in a dark bedroom and cry. I'm an extrovert, but I didn't want to be around people. I began to think, maybe I'm never going to meet someone that I can spend my life with. And it's not that there weren't any good times when I was single. There was beauty and meaning and value, but there was something that was missing that Emma and Evie and Isaac completed in me. And being with my family has greatly enriched my life in ways that I could never imagine. And so when I remember, there was a time when I didn't have Emma and Evie and Isaac. It creates a moment of awareness in which I am grateful. You can also remember that there are people all around you who don't have some of the things that you have, that don't have the blessings that you have come to take for granted. When's the last time that you gave thanks for your dishwasher? Renato reminds me. People that I visit in the nursing home remind me. People that I encounter in a Mexican restaurant with severe disabilities remind me. People who are walking down A1A with suitcases remind me that there are a lot of people who don't have what I have. and that I'm not worthy of the life that I'm living, my friends. Em and I say all the time, we don't deserve it. We live in a house that we could not afford on our own because the church provides it to us. I have a family that I've always wanted. I'm married to my best friend. I don't have a job. I have a calling, and I get to help people every single day. And I have a congregation of about 200 people that love me. Well, maybe 175 that love me, right? People that leave and say, what a great sermon. I get the honor of running a nonprofit where I get to help kids here in El Salvador, and I get to see the smile on their face when you give a kid that's like 3 feet tall a 4 foot tall trophy. I have awesome friends. And when I remember that everything that I have is a gift that somebody else doesn't, it makes me grateful. And while we're on that thought, another thing that we can do to cultivate gratitude is to remember all the advantages in life and all the gifts that we've been given that we don't deserve and we didn't earn. One of the biggest corruptions in American culture right now is entitlement and the idea that I earned it, it belongs to me, and by golly, I'll do with it what I want to do with it. And so when I stand up and I say, no, what you have doesn't belong to you. Nothing you have belongs to you. All of it belongs to God. And God has said, I will let you use it for your own benefit if you will share it with others. People just kind of ignore me. I've earned it. I've worked for it. It's mine. And I, check this out, I deserve to keep everything that I've earned. Consider this. There is more in your life that you did not earn and that you do not deserve and that you are not entitled to than the things that you have. Let's just back up and get a big picture here. The country that you were born in, the family that raised you, the color of your skin, your genetics and your intelligence, the educational opportunities that you've had, the generosity of those who helped you get started in life, or the generosity of those who picked you up when you fell down and didn't have anything, your health, your mobility, your looks, your personality. You didn't earn those things. It's not that you deserve them more than others because of some inherent good in you that other people don't have. These things have been given to you as a gift by people who love you and care about you and by the hand of a gracious and generous God. Somebody say amen. And when we remember that there are many reasons why we are who we are, there are many reasons why we are where we are, that are of no credit of our own, it helps us to be grateful. Remember, no matter what you're struggling with right now, God has been good to you. And we come into this house not to see our friends, although that's good. Not to sing our favorite songs, well, that's good. Not to sing out of a book, because we don't do that anywhere else, although that's good. Not for me to pray for you so that you don't have to pray on your own. Not to hear a good moral teaching or even to be inspired. Not for all the reasons why we go church shopping. We are here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to come into this house with an attitude of gratitude to say thank you to God. Thank you, Lord. That's why we're here. It is to come and lay our lives at the altar and say, God, you have given me everything. Now, empower me to give everything back to you. Glory to God in the highest. That's why we're here. It's gratitude. If we are ungrateful, we will be blinded to the very things that God puts into our lives every moment of every day, and we will not be able to truly worship Him. I'm getting off script because I don't have one. Let me rein it back in. The last thing that you can do to cultivate gratitude is to remember that you can lose everything in the blink of an eye. Some people lose everything in a natural disaster. We've seen it here in Cocoa Beach. Some people lose everything through a devastating diagnosis, a financial crisis. Children die. Teenagers get hooked on drugs and run away. Spouses leave. Employees are laid off. People are forever changed by debilitating accidents. Remembering how fleeting life is and how we can lose the things that are most valuable to us in the blink of an eye helps us to see the gifts that are all around us. And as a pastor, I can tell you that one of the most tragic things that I see as I help people move from one life to the next, and by that I mean moving from this life into the world to come, are people who are so blind to gratitude that they take everything for granted up until the point where they don't have any time to enjoy it. In the words of the 80s hair band Cinderella, you don't know what you got until it's gone. So, if you are not intentional about cultivating gratitude, you will probably still have these moments. Occasionally, you will have these moments where you're struck by the giftedness of life. You'll have an experience of seeing something in a new light, rediscovering its value, but the moments will be few and far in between, and when they come, they won't have any enduring value. They won't really change you in any significant way. But if you are intentional about cultivating gratitude, then these moments will become more frequent. Do you know what I'm talking about? And over time, it will have a cumulative effect. As more and more of these moments happen, as you are struck by gratitude, more will come. And they will have a cumulative effect. They will build in power until you will be able to see more clearly the giftedness around you. And eventually, the promise of the gospel, the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that we will reach a tipping point, that the cumulative effect will become so powerful that we will reach a tipping point in which all of these moments come together and literally transform us from the inside out. And you will develop a deep attitude of gratitude, and the whole world will take on a new meaning. It will become a precious gift given by the hand of a gracious God, and you will be in awe of the simplest things right in front of you. This happened to me yesterday. Not the tipping point, but one of these moments that was really transformative. In the middle of the contest, I was told by one of my volunteers that I couldn't surf, and I did it anyway, because I love surfing. And I paddled out at lunchtime, and all my friends went with me. And I'm in the water, and my friend Dan paddles by. And I said to him, this is one of the happiest moments of my life. My whole family was there. I was surrounded by my friends. And we were all doing what we loved. And I'm telling you, I can't explain it. It was almost like magic. It was a moment in which everything in the world felt just right. And I was in the center of God's will. And it's about as happy as I've ever been. And in that moment, I was just flooded with gratitude. And when you experience that, my friends, you just can't, your thank yous to God just seem so inadequate. It's just not enough. Never, nothing's enough. And it points us to heaven when we'll be doing this for eternity. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God in the highest. That's what we have to look forward to for those who have life in Christ. And so I want to end this morning by just giving you a couple little pieces of homework. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to make a gratitude list this week. People that are in 12-step recovery programs do this as a part of their recovery. But it's something that we can all benefit from. I want you to literally take some time. You can do it over the course of many days. You can sit down and do it in one time block. But I want you to get a piece of paper, and I want you to get a pen, and I just want you to free write everything in your life that you're grateful for. From the simplest things that we take for granted, like being able to breathe, to all of those small things that we take for granted, like our dishwashers. Maybe you want to take that time to confess how you've taken people that you love for granted, and asking God to help you be more loving and kind to them, to appreciate them more. Whatever form it takes, I want you to write a gratitude list. And for some of you, this might bring tears because you've lost some pretty important things. But I want to tell you something. If you're heartbroken right now, the intensity of your heartbreak is proportionate to the amount of love in your heart. Why do we cry and fall apart when people that we love pass away or leave? It's because we've loved them wholeheartedly. The only way not to hurt is not to love. But Jesus says, risk love and experience both the joy and the pain. So if it leads to tears, have a cry. It's okay. The Bible says God will collect every tear that you cry in the palm of his hand. And nothing that you feel will be lost. But make a gratitude list. And then, every day this week, whether it's in the morning or whether it's at night, I want you to thank God for one good thing in your life. And I don't care how rotten your life seems right now. There's something, my friend. There is something that you can be grateful for. And so take that time and just give God some thanks and praise. I just want to conclude this morning by inviting you to close your eyes. I just want you to close your eyes for a brief moment. And I want you to try to remember one person in your life that was extremely grateful. Someone who had an attitude of gratitude. Someone who was always positive and grateful. I really want you to get a picture of this person in your mind. And if you don't know anybody like that, you can picture Jesus. But get a picture of someone in your life that exudes gratitude. I'll just say a little prayer and give God thanks for that person. What made them so obviously grateful? Just ponder that for a second. Now look in their face and imagine that it's you. How would that change your life? Gracious God, we thank you so much for your graciousness and love. We ask that you will forgive us for taking life for granted and all the good things that we have, our relationships and the material things, the, the health, the mobility, everything, God. We ask that you'll forgive us for taking these things for granted. And we ask that as we move into the Thanksgiving season, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we can see the gifts all around us and be overcome with gratitude, and that you would give us the wisdom and the strength and the courage and the power to be able to be very intentional about cultivating this gratitude so that we can be transformed into the image of Jesus and experience the true joy and peace and happiness that is promised to us through your Son. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.